flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command Podcast. Logan Paulson there. Craig Hoffman here. It's NFC Championship Week. And that means we have Commanders Eagles to preview. The thing that we've thought all along. Jokes like that are never going to get old, Logan.
Yeah, absolutely. Never going to get old. So here we are talking about the Eagles again for the third time. And we're going to try and bring some new spicy takes on the Eagles as we go. So
yep. Two teams that have gotten here by doing essentially what they do. What new information could we uncover? Yeah. I don't know. Let's find out over the next 45 minutes to an hour. All right. We're going to start off with the offense of the Commanders and when Jaden Daniels has the ball. And I do think there's some interesting choices for Vic Fangio to make. And because we have two games worth of data, we've actually seen him make both choices this year. And surprisingly, after choice one worked the first time, they didn't do it again in game two. They tried to mix it up and it did not go as well. That choice, Logan, is they pressured Jaden Daniels the lowest that anybody did all season in their week 11 matchup. The Eagles then had their second highest blitz rate of the season for them in week 16 against Jaden. And the first one didn't really do a whole lot offensively, did Washington. Yeah. The second one, Jaden threw 5 touchdown passes. So it might seem that they might not blitz a whole lot, but also teams can't stop blitzing Jaden, even though he's great against it. What do we think happens on Sunday on that side of the ball?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting because, like, even when they do pressure, it's not like they're not like crazy pressures. I think when you think of like blitzing, people think of like Detroit or Tampa Bay, and probably because of those teams who've played most recently. Philly is kind of pressuring in a little bit more conservative of a manner. Like, it's all sim pressures. It's all like they occasionally rush 6, but that's usually on rundowns, like as a way to stop the run, kind of build a run structure. But like when they're rushing the passer, they're just trying to get to like a 4-man overload, right? So they're just trying to bring one and then one extra, and then they're usually dropping someone out. So it's like true zone 4-man pressures. So like even those pressures, even though they seem, it sounds like Philadelphia was being very aggressive, I thought it was just a nice way for them to get to different rush patterns. And when you go back and watch the first half of the second game, it really befuddled Washington in a way that was kind of unexpected. Like, they had a really hard time picking it up and some of the empty protections and things like that. So what I would say is I'd expect there to be a mix of both. I think they take the things that worked in the second game and also the things that worked in the first game. And ultimately, what I think is that you probably say, we want to, as Philadelphia, rush for play coverage, whether that's man, quarters, match, whatever it is, probably a little bit more man. They've played more man the back half of the year, right? And just say, we will throw the changeup of these zone pressures, which were very effective. We're just going to be a little bit more selective about when they do them. And so if that's the case, I think that makes it a little bit harder to prep because, you know, one of the things about Jaden Daniels and this offense and Cliff Kingsbury is if you get like a good feel and a good bead. So for example, like when we were talking in our production meeting, it was like, if they're playing a lot of man and rushing 4, what's the plan? It's like, right. I'm going to send the protection to Jalen Carter. I'm going to make sure there's even chip help maybe on Jalen Carter with the back or whatever we're going to do. I'm going to kind of say the tackles, you're on your own. We're going to really focus on him as someone we need to protect. And then I'm going to run a lot of man beating concepts that get the ball out quickly, right? However, if they start bringing some of this sim, you know, 4-man rush, 4-man overload pressure, they were going to play a little bit more zone behind it, that becomes a little bit more complicated to do. And so I think you'll probably see a mix of both just because I think it's good defense. Take what worked well. Don't overexpose yourself, right? Because I think that's something we were talking about, is maybe they overexposed themselves in the second matchup while also bringing that conservative, solid approach that you had in the first one.
So the Eagles have gotten pressure on over half of their blitzes against Daniels this season, 52.4%, but came away with just one sack. So despite the pressure, Daniels has taken advantage of the less coverage defenders by completing 11 of 17 passes against the blitz for 193 yards and three touchdowns per Next Gen Stats. So I think the thing with him, the more I think about it, the more I watch, the more I talk to people, is he just has like a supernatural spatial awareness. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that he's and I'm not saying this verbatim, like this is how he processes it, but this is kind of how I watch it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not even that he's like reading the coverage. It's just like, oh, there's space. Like he just has an ability to see space as a runner and certainly as a passer, where it's like, oh, that blitzer's coming. There's space behind. I know my route concept. I'm about to have a guy sit down right there. I'm going to fire the ball to him. And he just seems to have like a supernatural awareness of where, almost like he has a heat map of the field and he can see where the gaps are. And when you take defenders out of coverage, then he can find that extra space with a regularity that's, you know, amongst the best in the NFL, period. Nevertheless, for a rookie, nevertheless, for a guy who can also hurt you with his leg. So I think that's the conundrum is, you know, in week one, they just didn't do that. Or week 11, I should say, they didn't do that. 12.5% blitz rate. So they had seven in coverage all the time. And in week 16, 35%. And that's just too many opportunities for him, man or zone, to find where that extra space is and where he should be distributing the football.
Yeah, and it's funny, when you look at the second matchup, I actually thought the Philadelphia Eagles defense did a good job outside of like four plays. You know, I remember there's the explosive play to Diami, there's the explosive play to Terry, there's the explosive play to OZ. And those things are traditionally not stuff that the Philadelphia Eagles defense gives up. But like one of the things that happened in that game is Jaden Daniels would break the pocket or extend or mess up the timing with the type of arc that he was putting on the football. I think we talked about that in the review show. Like he's putting these balls out there, you know, like with tremendous arc, tremendous timing, letting the receivers run under it. And I just wonder how repeatable that is. And I wonder if you're Vic Fangio, are you worried about that? Or are you just like saying like, he's not going to do this again? Because again, those are relatively low percentage throws. Like there's a ton of variance in those kind of deep down the field shots. A lot of defenses kind of encourage you to take those shots because they are so low percentage. And then you say like, well, he got the explosive play to OZ where he broke contain and they had 12 men on the field. They ran the man coverage player off the field that had OZ and it led to an explosive play. So I kind of wonder if they kind of say like, that's the anomaly in this and we just got to do what we do well, kind of what you're saying, and just stick with the things that we did so well in the week 11 matchup. Because again, this defense is very, very good. And, you know, they are a little bit banged up in the secondary. Quinyon Mitchell's on the injury report this week. So that'll be interesting if they feel like they have to be more aggressive if he's out of the lineup. But again, like they just do so much well, the Philadelphia defense, that I'm kind of like, maybe that was an anomaly from an offensive performance for Washington, and they just kind of say, hey, we're going to throw the fastball right down the middle and see if you can.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hit it.
I definitely think that's possible. I mean, Vic Fangio's been one of the best DCs in this league for a long, long time. And if he's like, I trust my stuff, I'm going to do it, especially with the talent he's got, I think it's hard to argue. The problem is there's a next-gen stat for this, too. Daniels completing 52.2% of his passes when targeting vertical routes this season. fifth highest in the NFL, highest marked by a rookie since 2018. But here's the kicker in terms of, is this an anomaly on these bigger vertical routes? I know not all of the big plays they hit were verticals.
I'm calling statistical variance. At some point, is it going to regress, right? Yeah, okay.
So Daniels led the league with 14.6 yards per attempt on such passes, throwing 12 touchdowns, including 4 in Week 16 against the Eagles, and only 3 picks. Yeah. So it would tell you that you can take that bet on statistical variance, but it's not the 50-50 or even more tilted in the defense's favor that it would be against most quarterbacks. So I think that, you know, ultimately, like, I had a great conversation with Robert yesterday the radio show. And there's two things that he said that I thought were really, really smart on this. One, I think that when we talk about man coverage against mobile quarterbacks, there's this thought that you can't do it because our eyes are on the receivers and it's going to open up run lanes. And he said the numbers don't actually bear that out. Scrambling quarterbacks will hurt you just as evenly against zone as they do against man. So the idea that, like, we can't play man against Jaden Daniels is silly because of that reason. Now, maybe there's other reasons you don't want to. The numbers would say that's actually incorrect, that he'll destroy zones at a much higher rate. The other part of that is, if you look at just the roster construction of Washington's offense, I would make the receiving talent beat me. And maybe that's a more difficult proposition now that De'Ami Brown has discovered a new level. But I would, if I was Philly, I would be willing to take that bet and challenge that. You know, Jameson is very skilled in a very specific set of things, but OZ, same thing. But these guys are not the best receivers in football who crush man-to-man coverage. They're great zone receivers who have a good feel, can get down, find the space, make guys miss after the catch. But you got to get open first against man. And so I just tend to think that they should lean maybe the heaviest. I mean, they've been playing a lot more man second half of the season.
It's
including
like 60%, right? Or something like that. It's like
that
crazy
quarter's
jump.
Match has gone straight man in a lot of situations. And so it's something they're comfortable doing. It has been the Achilles heel of Washington's offense. Last week against Detroit, just a 41% success rate on dropbacks where it's 4 or 5 man pressures and man coverage on the back end. Like, I think you kind of have to make them beat you that way. And then it comes to the question of, can Jaden do it? And I think he can, but it's the hardest way for him to play.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, I think back to, again, I've referenced this before, but Pittsburgh played them that way, and it's not like he wasn't seeing it effectively. It's the throws were just a touch off. You know what I mean? They're just a touch off. And that was kind of with the rib injury. And then you look at the Philly game, and again, the rib injury is still a common thread here. But, like, he was seeing it well. He just, the throws were into such tight windows. Then you look at the third game with Philly. So I'm kind of looking at these three games as case studies. And in the first half, I actually thought, man, like, that's a really good throw on a tight window dig with a man coverage player. It wasn't man, but, like, he's matching the dig. It's a tight window throw, and the ball gets dropped. Here's a slant, tight window, ball gets dropped. And so there is an element to, like, he sees it okay, but the ball just isn't completed at a super high percentage the way it is in these other coverage structures that you're seeing. So I think maybe that's the point here. And it's not only – this is the other thing I wanted to – I think you brought up a good point. Like, you want him to play man coverage. And, again, the Washington receivers aren't the best at consistently beating man coverage. Like, they're a good group. They've punched above their weight class. Terry McLaurin's done a great job. De'Ami's resurgence is amazing, all those things. But I also think the thing about Philly that makes them so effective is the rush – coupled with the coverage is something that is very unique to them. They've got guys, a lot of guys that can win one-on-ones. Williams and Carter on the interior do a great job when you watch them. They push the pocket at a really high level. Nolan Smith's playing a lot better. Sweat's playing well. Jalix Hunt, I think is the guy's name, number 58 for them, is starting to play better on the perimeter and create consistent pressure. He's kind of this power, strong build rusher. And I just am like, man, that's the thing that becomes problematic is dudes will get open, but the rush has been so consistent for them. Like, they don't really have to blitz. They do sometimes, obviously, but, like, that's the thing that makes that defense good. It's like they're the gatekeepers for the coverage. Like, they basically are like, you will not have to cover longer than 1.7 seconds because one of us is going to win. And that shows up pretty consistently when you watch them on film. And it's not – maybe it doesn't show up in pressure rates, but the way they affect the passer is very, very high. And I was talking to Dan Quinn about this at the beginning of the season. He's like, you know, sometimes our pressure rate is different than, like, the NFL or Pro Football Focus pressure rate because, like, let's say you bull the guard back into the quarterback's lap, like that's affecting his process in terms of throwing. And we count that as a pressure, even though like you're not on the other side of the guard, and that would be technically a pressure by PFF's metric. So I think that's really another story for me that is somewhat compelling. I think the coverage structure is a big deal, but like again in the second matchup when they were blitzing a little bit, like he was finding the open guy. He just couldn't deliver the ball because the rush was so aggressive. And so I think that's to me another huge story, especially with Sam Cosmi out. Like, you know, how do you kind of balance all that?
Yeah, I think we're going to get to that in 10 seconds. But I think the other thing, too, that's, you know, about Jaden is speeding him up isn't necessarily the best way to get the worst out of him if you're a defense because he sees it so quick. It's almost like, can you slow him down and have him sit back there and get kind of antsy in the pocket and feel like he should be running or he should be having the ball out? That's when he sometimes takes some sacks or, you know, gets a little greedy. So I think that's something to watch too. With like, how much do they aggressively rush and how much do they mush rush with four or with more?
Well, it's like the second interception that he had against Philly, right? He gets flushed. He's holding on the ball. He's trying to make a play. He throws the ball late over the middle of the field. And he doesn't do that a lot, right? He's been very, very good about not turning the football over. But, you know, he is a human being and he does make mistakes. And I felt like that was a good example of where it's like, you know, they kind of, it wasn't a mush rush necessarily, but they kind of flush him from the pocket. He's trying to make a play, makes a bad decision. So I think that's another element too, is like, you know, what kind of game flow is this going to be for the offense? And can you be a little bit more conservative? Do you see some more punts in this game than we have from Dan Quinn? Because the Philly offense doesn't really put the screws to you the same way Detroit does. They're a little bit, it's a slower paced game. It's like, it's a very 1980s style of football. It's like, we're going to play great defense, and they do, they consistently play great defense, and we're going to run the ball. And we're going to shorten the game. We're going to win by one possession. And so, like, do you feel the same urgency to, like, maximize every possession the way they did versus Detroit? I don't know. That's
I would. Really, I yeah. would. I want to make this game a track meet.
I know. I think that's right. But I think, like, so, for example, like, let's say you're on your 40, you're on the 50-yard line, right? Is it because you know that you're not going to get lapped the same way by the offense? Like, do you just punt it? I agree. You want to come out and score. I just saw a crazy statistic. And since the last game, which I think was what, week 16? When did they play them last? Week 16?
Yeah, week 16.
Phillies only trailed for 5 minutes. 5 minutes in all wow. those games. That's including the playoffs. They are used to winning a very specific type of game. They don't play from behind. They play with a lead. They lean on their defense. They lean on the run game. Jalen Hurts is way deleveraged right now in the offense. And that's how they win games. So if, to your point, if you can get out and put them in a 7-point deficit, like what happens? Do they just try to throw the ball over the yard and they can't operate in the game flow that they want? So I think that's a really interesting element too, in terms of how aggressive you are offensively and the messaging you give to Jaden Daniels. Cause maybe it's like, hey, we don't need to be hyper aggressive like we were against Detroit, but that's the thing that's kind of got you to this point as an offense and as a team, is that you are very aggressive. So I think there are some really interesting storylines from that standpoint as well.
Yeah, Commanders averaging 34 a game in the playoffs. Philly's giving up 16 a game in the playoffs. So two very contrasting styles on this side
16?
Of the ball.
16? Man.
16 points per game in the playoffs.